Thank you for joining us for this episode of All About PR. I'm your host, Tarunjit Ratan. If you are tuning in for the first time on this podcast, we speak to experts from the world of PR and communication from across the world and bring you interesting conversations from it.
You know, while we have all spoken endlessly about the growth of digital and new mediums, have you noticed how legacy media has steadily innovated in this space? Some wonderful innovations that merge decades of experience, clarity of news, into mediums that resonate with a younger target audience. Today, we speak to leaders from the sector who will gaze with us into the crystal ball and share with us what the future holds for the media and the innovations that have caught the viewers' attention. We have with us first, Radhika Birani. Hi, Radhika.
Hi, Tarunjit. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Radhika is currently the head of content at Healthshots, a digital health and wellness platform for women powered by Hindustan Times. Our second panelist for the day is Anil Thomas. Welcome, Anil.
Good afternoon, Tarun.
Thank you so much for joining us. Anil is currently working as a senior anchor cum correspondent at DD News. He has worked with a wide variety of news channels, starting from Sahara News to Aaj Tak, Headlines Today, and then with DD News. He has over 21 years of TV journalism experience and specializes in sports, politics, and economy. Thank you so much, Anil, for taking out the time to be with us here today.
My pleasure.
Can you share with us one key observation that has stuck with you on the evolution of the media industry in India specifically?
Well, purely from a perspective of evolution, what exactly, say, maybe two elections before 2014, or even for that matter, 2004 elections, you know, when we were pretty raw. Or when we were as trainees, even in 2000, you know, when the elections, 1999 elections, it took place. Elections was very much focused very much on, you know, one medium, that was TV news and also print. You know, the balance was between TV and print. But that slowly has changed. You know, if you see the last two elections, 2014, 2019, and the next one in 2020, could be very much a fight where TV is going to lose a lot of space and it's going to be taken over by digital media. The evolution is very much present there, especially social media space. 2019 elections, almost, if you see, almost 40% of the crowd shift is clearly evident from TV to the social media space. And I think 2024 will be election to watch out for, where TV will lose a lot of ground. And it could be the other mediums that could grab that opportunity big time, because people are moving. You don't have the time now to sit back and enjoy those TV screens. It happened, in the early 2000, you know, till 2020, till you could have more of television that way. But that particular enjoyment of news, or that particular enjoyment of getting information, is slowly changing. And that would be the big step away or the big evolution that I have seen in this medium.
Absolutely. Harik, what's your view?
I'd agree. I mean, consumption patterns have changed a lot, which is what has also driven how we are delivering news. So I think that is one of the key changes. I mean, obviously, in the past 2 years, what it has done to our reality, we've seen how consumption patterns have completely been altered. So right. I think that is a major change. And we are all scrambling to deliver this.
No, absolutely. You know, see, for the longest amount of time, I think while digital media has been predicting the doom or the death of traditional media, and traditional media has been pretty much talking about this being the new kid on the block, and possibly it will take a long time for it to catch up. But somewhere the twain has met. And I think over the last 4 or 5 years, there has been a conscious move by legacy media to actually move into the digital space, or look at newer programming, or look at interesting initiatives that will catch the attention of the viewer. In your opinion, how do you see this evolving? And what was the exact point or the exact moment in history of media evolution that you can count? It actually said that, okay, that you can pinpoint and say, okay, you know, this was when legacy media started taking these transformations as important, adding their attention.
Well, one particular instance that comes to my mind immediately, especially the 2000 Kumbh Mela, you know, where the first time when in India, which was telecast live on ZTV then, you know, because ZTV and Star Plus were the two new existing news creators or content creators then in 2000. So when that particular event went live, and, you know, suddenly we realized that there is a big window, that the legacy media, when you say, you know, I would put Doordarshan very much in that league. Doordarshan didn't believe in anything live. Live was all choreographed live, you know, events that were very much managed, like Republic Day, Independence Day, nothing that we thought could be possible. But clearly that was the stepping stone in that particular Kumbh Mela. When everything went live, you could suddenly see, okay, this is how it's done. You could create a theater, especially of an event that is live, and that could catch the attention of viewers sitting in their drawing rooms. So people didn't have to go to the Ganges to see it. You could wake up in the morning at 4 o'clock, you could see that particular event live. And I think that that particular feature of live television has just evolved. You know, if you see with passing channels, Aztec taking on that bait further, bringing everything live. Even for a very large extent, if you see Republic TV in today's times, it's that moment of creating that theater very much live into your drawing rooms where you're sitting and enjoying that. Even in Hindi as well as English television, that's moved a bit a great, great way, especially when it comes to bringing those live moments into your drawing rooms. You know, and that's got people's attention, except for sports. You know, no other moment, you know, any part of history that you see post that particular event in India, you clearly had a feeling that you could catch this particular event live on television. And that could be one of the best way out, you know, especially in these times that we are all facing. You know, you don't get an opportunity. You know, we've all wasted that particular opportunity where we've taken, you know, almost life for granted. We could go and catch an event live. We've got a live event that's coming up, the Republic Day preparations, you know. So what happens, the expectations increase purely in terms of the thrill that we're going to give to the audience, especially with regards to what new can be brought about. How do we get about getting those clearances? Because it's not easy getting clearances, especially on, you know, technology that needs to be brought to the, especially bringing on, say, a drone camera for a Republic Day parade. You know, you need clearances from, you know, many, many sectors, actually the defense, the MEA clearing, those kind of clearances needed. So it's not easy to get it. But then the process slowly begins, you know, where you could also think of making it larger than life and making it enjoyable for the viewers. And I think that's the way forward, especially if television has to survive. It has to make things interesting for the people to watch, and interesting purely in terms of more infotainment added to it, and also with information equally galore there available for people to enjoy and make full use of.
Absolutely. Radhika?
I think for me, since I've been from a writing background, so I started, I think the shift started even before I came into the industry. But largely, say around 10 to 12 years ago is when when a whole lot of websites started coming in for us, a lot of niche websites. Since I was covering, say, cinema, lifestyle, it was about 10, 12 years ago that I started seeing absolutely niche content websites coming in, catering to, again, a lot of live things, a lot of paparazzi thing. I think that completely changed the way things were covered, at least in the cinema and lifestyle space that I have largely covered throughout my career. And that has continued to now shape what we consume and deliver.
Absolutely. But I think for the longest amount of time, management or editorial teams internally would always prioritize television live or byline written story in print rather than it being online, right? So online was always treated as a stepchild. And I think now they're pretty much taking it seriously and trying to make a go at it. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I think online media is one step ahead than what television is. We do things live, but then, you know, we get live feedback on where we went wrong. Because whenever we go right, it's never mentioned. But as soon as we go wrong, you know, there is a tweet that's being posted somewhere. And there you get the call, you know, in the middle of life, you get a call. This is what happened. I said, nobody missed it. Nobody saw it. It's there in the online space. Look at Twitter. There is a clip with regards to that. So that's the power of online media in today's times, you know, especially when there is a mistake or when there is a flaw. I would say, you know, it's very much hands-on. You know, it helps us also. It helps us stay on our toes. Everybody's on their toes thanks to social media.
Absolutely. It reminds me of a scene from a series called Newsroom, where the Twitter handle was relegated to the intern till it became one of the most important things that they actually did. But cool. It's amazing. You know, Didi is on Twitter and it has a slew of new programs on science, startups, which I personally very much enjoy. And HT has actually ventured into new discussions that were typically not mainstream. We're pretty much a part of the whole publication or a Women's Day special. And they actually have a podcast on it. Absolutely amazing things are happening out there. But what has been the audience of viewer reaction, you know, in terms of acceptance of these new initiatives from legacy media?
The thing is that we need to first understand that people consuming traditional media still remain very far removed from, I think, a majority. I'm taking the liberty of saying, but I think a majority of people that consume news and views on social media, I think there's a demarcation still, though people are, say the older lot is trying to adapt. So the way the news is consumed is very, very, very different. So the way it needs to be served is also different. The new generation wants to consume news in quick bites, which led to the emergence of aggregators like InShorts or Daily Hunt, where you get everything together. So So yeah, I think it's really about how people want to consume the things. That's right. How we are also tailoring content. If podcasts are coming, that's because there are people to hear them. If there are short format videos, we've gone from long format to short format because that's the need of the hour. So I think there, a lot of tailoring to the consumer demand is happening, which is why also traditional media is in a constantly evolving mode at the current moment.
Absolutely. Anil, how has it been on the television end?
This particular pandemic season, you know, or this pandemic years that we've faced, you know, we've got that mix of getting traditional media, traditional shows, you know, the old shows like Ramayana, Mahabharata back on air. And the success that we saw purely in terms of footprints, both in either in terms of those small clips that were circulated, especially on the social media, purely for helped us, you know, especially getting the audience feedback. Not once, I think we've run Ramayana now 5 times during this particular pandemic. Mahabharata has had 4 reruns. And the response that we got, especially on the social media, not from people in India, but people abroad, you know, especially people in countries like UAE, Canada, especially people asking us for reruns for it, you know, time and again. When we are halfway into a season of, say, Ramayana, there is a request again back for a rerun. So what it pushed us somewhere to think there is a big market that is existing for it. And that pushed us somewhere to get a new channel altogether in place, you know, called DD Retro, which is a rerun of all the shows that you want to see. As in when on the online space, you can go ahead and click the show that you want. You can watch it online on DD Retro. But otherwise, DD Retro has a regular streamline of all these shows, all the past shows like 4G, Mahabharata, you name it, Shaktiman, all running, reruns running there. So people who still enjoy those particular, especially, you know, getting that mix of staying those old serials, they still have a great opportunity, especially in putting that together. And the driver for getting that channel in place very much was social media. The response that social media clearly showed, even when those footprints were there, especially with regards to, say, Mahabharata, you know, Ramayana, that was the first experiment that we did with Ramayana. But the Ramayana was, it had such a great response that we had to push it back on DD National, which is a premium network. The ad slots and the ad prices are very high. But then we were forced to push it there because, you know, that particular lockdown, we felt that the audience deserved. We had to give it to a larger audience considering the fact that DD National is still, you know, available with an antenna possible at most of the houses. Though it was that point of time, purely in terms of revenue, it didn't generate much for us. But clearly in terms of the audience demand and the response that we got, you know, we thought we would simultaneously telecast it on DD National as well as other networks that we had. There were huge demands for getting these stars back on air. People wanted to see who these stars were, you know, that they had seen as Ramayana. So we had to get these stars back for a reunion. We had a Ramayana reunion that we played out. We had a Mahabharata reunion. Whatever stars that we could manage to get at that point of time, we managed to put them on air so that audience could somewhere interact with them. And we also had a YouTube as well as a social media page that was created where questions were generated. Right. People were asking those questions. And the anchor put these questions for them. So it clearly became, you know, that balance was there very much with the older generation as the newer generation connecting with it. Though there have been many other variations of Ramayana and Mahabharata that have been created, I think the old still is very much acceptable and people still enjoy them.
But what has been the audience of viewer reaction in terms of acceptance of these new initiatives from legacy media?
Thing is, we need to first understand that people consuming traditional media still remain very far removed from, I think, a majority. I'm taking the liberty of saying, but I think a majority of people that consume news and views on social media, I think there's a demarcation still, though people are, say, the older lot is trying to adapt. So the way the news is consumed is very, very, very different. So the way it needs to be served is also different. The new generation wants to consume news in quick bites, which led to the emergence of aggregators like an InShorts or Daily Hunt, where you get everything together. So yeah, I think it's really about how people want to consume the things. That's right. How we are also tailoring content. If podcasts are coming, that's because there are people to hear them. If there are videos, if there are short format videos, we've gone from long format to short format. Because that's the need of the hour. So I think there, a lot of tailoring to the consumer demand is happening, which is why also traditional media is in a constantly evolving mode at the current moment.
So this is a question for both of you. What is your advice for PR professionals who want to pitch a story to you?
Know the platform, right? First, that is one thing. That when pitch, you should know the platform you're pitching it for and tailor it accordingly. I think that will give you higher chances of converting it into a pitch to a real story.
In that particular regard, most of the stories that come our way, generally what happens is, first of all, let's suppose purely from an event perspective, let me put that first, and then I'll come to the pitch part of it. From an event perspective, right from the bureau chief to five people on the same team, all have been sent the same invite, okay? So now that when you come on the medic meeting, there is a big fight. I'm going. I've got an invite. So the boss is left confused. He says, boss, either you cover the event or let the event go, because there are five invitations and five people are ready to go. So most of the time, the event gets dropped because there's multiplicity of invitations that have been sent. So half the time, the event gets dropped purely, even if it's a good story, gets dropped. And then we generally wait for a press release to see if it can be adjusted somewhere. So that story goes purely because of multiplicity of invites that are sent on our network. Secondly, from a pitch point of view, most of the pitches that we get, especially for stories from PR agencies, are very much driven with, you know, one angle, the client. And then there is no expertise that follows with it. You know, what happens is today's times, especially you need, if there is a client story that you're trying to pitch, you also need an expert from the industry that, you know, if you could arrange to, you know, balance your story out, that helps the story. So most of the times the pitch is generally, okay, this is my client, this is what my client does, and this is the story. So for us, for a network like Doordarshan, it becomes difficult because, you know, we need to balance it with something substantial at the end of the day, because we're going to face the RTI. So we need to be really careful of that, because when these kind of stories are pitched, I remember a story that we had pitched about, you know, an electric vehicle that promised some 500 kilometers in one charge. So somebody went ahead and did that story. And then, you know, we had to face a lot of brickbats for it, because in today's times, I think even Tesla doesn't have a car that can run 500 kilometers with one charge. So those kind of stories generally that are not substantiated with facts, because if you need it to be substantiated with facts, you need to get an expert on board. And today's times, if you're expecting a pitch story to have an expert also for a journalist to search for, I think, you know, it's asking too much. You know, if there is a pitch for a valid story, also get an industry expert who's going to vouch that story for you. It makes things simpler, because today's times there is a mad rush to find that space, you know, in television. So if you're looking to find that space, you need to get that right balance there. You know, this is the pitch, this is the story, this is the industry expert. And if you want, then it's purely on the journalist to find whatever other angles that he's trying to explore. Maybe get the competitors on board. You know, that's a totally different, but purely from a story, simple story structure, a story idea along with the industry expert does wonders for a story to find some space, especially in the television as well as digital media.
There's a very pointed question for both of you. What do you look for in a story pitch, and how do you select what goes up?
Well, purely when pitches are made, especially for stories from PR people, we generally look at whether it's relevant in today's times, especially from a segment point of view. Sometimes story would find a place purely because there is a segment. Let's suppose there is a segment in technology today that there's no story available for us. So, you know, that could be an opening that we would be looking at. But, you know, it's purely last minute adjustments that we make, you know. And then what happens is, if you don't get a technology story from India, we generally go and pick a story from Reuters, and maybe an international story finds a footing there. So most of the times I would say that no story in today's times, especially in TV medium, no story is useless. Every story has a shelf life or some value. It could be in various formats that we could adjust the story. And what happens is most of the PR guys miss the trick or two, because they try to get that visual story on television medium. TV medium has many more avenues or many more formats where that particular story could be adjusted. Maybe a single line on the ticker band that follows, you know, that could be a great grab for catching an eyeball. But, you know, most of the time when I see pitches being made, they always pitch for a television story for television channels. But there are other avenues. You know, we've got a website running, we've got a social media handle running. There could be various windows which could be explored purely in terms of taking that story forward. Most of the pitches are made for TV story. If the TV story doesn't click, then they don't call back or revert back on the story. And I think that's where the story gets missed. Push that story on some or the other medium, because that's the big window that television has. You know, there are multiple windows that you could push the story for, even on the ticker band. You know, I think it's still value for money if you can get it on the ticker band, or if you can push it on some other format. Push it. There is a window there. It just needs to be explored.
Radhika, you want to add something to that?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to pitches, uniqueness really works. I don't, increasingly what I see, at least in the health domain, what the kind of pitches that I receive, a lot of generalization happens, which I don't think works in favor of the medium and of the subject. So, for example, if someone is coming to me with a pitch of cancer, but it's a generic thing where the pitch is about cancer cases have increased in India. So there has to be some uniqueness to it, some relevance. How should cancer patients maybe cope up in COVID times? I'm saying that just adds a bit of relevance and would grab my attention for me to even turn it into a story. So I think adding that edge to the pitch and not always generalizing is very important. And also, when you make a pitch, you're obviously doing it with some level of preparedness and knowing the kind of timelines that journalists have on their hands, come with a bit of research in terms of what you're pitching instead of coming with a clean slate and saying, okay, let's do something. So that something is a huge universe. So, yeah.
Okay. So knowing the medium and, you know, actually articulating what you would like to explore with that.
And offer something new.
Absolutely. So would you say media consumption habits are keeping print alive?
Of course. It's very difficult to get something that you used to out of your life unless it's forced, which is what happened when print was not available. But let us not forget that is the reason why paywalls eventually worked for some platforms who came up with it during this time, because people still, even in that digital form that people were getting the papers, they still wanted to read the paper, maybe vis-a-vis going on a website and reading, because at least that visual feel of the newspaper was there. Otherwise, people would just be reading the stories on the website. Why would we need digital version of the print?
One advice you would like to leave the PR community with today?
Well, you know, purely when it comes to pitching stories, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, never give up that opportunity that television, if you're looking at a TV network for a story, there are multiple avenues in today's terms, you know, in which the story could find a place. If not the TV news medium per se, you have an online edition, you have a web portal, you have social media. There are many places through which that footprint can be found. So you need to understand that a pitch today's times is just not about a TV story. It could be multiple formats. And I think if one is able to encash on that, that's the big window that one should look forward.
Thank you so much for taking out the time today, for joining us today. I think this was a great session. And I'm sure our audience enjoyed it as much as all of us did having a discussion on the subject.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So that was Anil and Radhika talking to us about how legacy media has upped its game and it's making a very strong play for new age media and programming. I'm sure you got to understand a lot of things today, got to know about a lot of interesting initiatives that they're doing. So open up those plans again and see what you can rework.
A big shout out to the good folks at PRPOI for collaborating with us on this episode. We will see you next time with another engaging conversation from the world of PR and communication.